This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The cut line looms at Augusta National. The NFL draft creeps closer by the day, and we've got a whole lot of big news to break down as we welcome you into this Mike Palm Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. The show is always presented by DraftKings. What's going on, Mike?
How are you? Lots of stuff going on.
Lots of stuff.
Well, the Masters, of course, is the compelling story. How many shots will Scheffler win by? I think I just was talking to Bill Cramsey, our director of player development, who is an avid golfer and golf better. And I said, I think I'm going to start looking at delay strokes with Scheffler instead of betting him to win, bet him 2.5, 3.5, something like that. He's like a machine. Tiger's right around the cut. That's a compelling story. So tons of action. We do a great ride. It's beautiful up at Stadium Swim. Another great day. Got the pricing, Masters pricing on the food, $1.50 sandwiches, $3 sandwiches, $16 Coors Light. So you can't beat that. And then these playoff races in the NHL are heating up. NBA as well, as they're playing for seeding. Baseball's getting underway. Some great storylines with some young teams. Pirates off to a great start. Royals. I think we'll talk about that when we go into our grab bag of mail today. JVT asked a great question about the Royals. And NBA's going as well. And so there's a ton of stuff going on. Even they say, you know, we get a little break because college basketball's over and now's the downtime. Not quite yet.
Yeah. No shortage of content. That's for sure at this point. And we got some great guests as well that are coming
up.
Sorry.
Yeah. And UFL.
Yeah. Don't forget about the UFL.
And UFL, another big weekend, week three.
Do not disrespect spring football. We got a rematch of the XFL championship from last year this weekend, all the things. But a great guest list coming up today as well. As you talk about this being the final couple days of the NBA regular season, Nick Whalen of RotoWire is going to stop by, give some of his thoughts on how to approach betting these games and the playoff picture. We'll also have Shane Knighty, TV analyst for the Vegas Golden Knights, my old friend and colleague. He's going to join us because it's a interesting situation right now for the Golden Knights today as they face the Wild, and you've got the Blues who face the Canes earlier today to figure out one of those spots in the West.
Well, yeah, they still have work to do to clinch a playoff spot, although obviously the odds are in their favor. But I think, and we're going to talk about this with Shane, if there's any way they could catch the Kings for third and stay in that Pacific bracket, that's brutal. If you're wild card two, you have to go to Dallas. If you win there, you get Colorado or Winnipeg. That's a tough road to get to the Western Final.
No doubt about it. So lots to get to. We'll talk NHL a little bit later on in the show, but I do want to start off here with the Masters a little bit because your point about Scottie Scheffler is interesting. I said earlier this week, I know that like in these big tournaments, everybody loves a long shot, right? Like it's called the Long Shots Podcast here at VSiN for a reason. And everybody likes being able to cash a 50-1 or a 45-1. But sometimes the favorites are the favorites for a reason. And Scheffler just seems like he's on another planet.
Well, the thing in golf is the consistency, right? I mean, it's very hard to go out there every week and be in it on Sunday. But he's been so consistent. And good thing for the books is, to your point, people are looking for value, and so they're looking to bet longer prices. He was the shortest favorite since Tiger was in his prime, so it was very tough to bet him. I know 4-1 in some books, and of course now he's less than 3-2, and by the time the day's over, it might be a big minus sign in front of him. So he performed as expected. Obviously DeChambeau and Homa had huge first rounds as well, so they're right in the mix. Rory is there, who was a popular bet before. You know, Fred Couples was our biggest liability, which I mentioned yesterday. He's not going to win, right? So now let's just cross him out. Tiger, who's threatening the cut, you know, flirting with the cut line, would be our biggest liability. And then I think next is Rory McIlroy. But we're sitting really good right now, I would say. I can't say well, really good right now. And that Scheffler's a good result for us. Home is a good result as of now. Things can change because obviously every night around 8 o'clock we repost all the odds, and then there's a ton of money on the matchups.
Yeah, with Tiger. So the thing that I probably invested the most in was Tiger to win the cut. I did not anticipate the delayed start yesterday, and so that gave me a little bit of pause and reason for concern having to play 23 holes today. He's 2 over right now, but if he does make the cut, sets a record, 24 consecutive cuts made at the Masters, which would be remarkable and awesome. And he's had some moments where he's looked really good, like the swing looks good, the touch looks good. He had that awesome chip in for birdie this morning, just some things that you see about Tiger make you really feel like he's back and that he's good. I just hope that his body can hold up today on such a hilly course.
Can he walk that many holes? I mean, that's going to be the challenge. I think it's a bad beat with the rain, and that he has to have the weighted one day over the other instead of trying to do 18 twice. I know it's hard. It's hard for him to look down when he putts even. But obviously everyone's pulling for him because it's a much more compelling storyline.
And then Scheffler, of course, will start his round later on this hour, 10:48 Pacific, 1:48 Eastern. If you ever thought you were a bad sports bettor, Ipe Mitsuhara said, hold my beer. What is going on with this, latest update in the Shohei Ohtani betting scandal discussion? It is like, I feel like every article I'm reading, it just gets crazier and crazier. It's like a movie.
You know how Law and Order, they always say it's based on headlines or ripped from the headlines, and it's some takeoff on what really happened in life. This seems like it was taken out of a TV show, right? I remember there was a Law and Order, the original, many years ago, probably in the first three or four seasons, where it was a baseball player who was a bettor, but then it was his dad, right, who was the bettor, but no, it was really the baseball player, and the dad was covering, right, to protect the – I mean – he lost how many million?
16.
That's what he stole.
So yeah, the initial report was that it was $4.5 million. He reportedly, according to the federal investigation complaint, stole over $16 million. And then when you look up the losses with the illegal bookmaker, in net losses, over $40 million.
Who'd he steal the other 24 from? Or is he still?
Well, he must have won some bets at some point,
still,
right?
You 24 go up and in the down. Hole. How about the U.S. attorney? They're all in on Ohtani, the victim. I mean, Rob Manfred's got to be tickled pink about this.
Oh, yeah, because apparently the one thing that, if all this were true and Ipe Mitsuhara didn't do all of this, the one thing he didn't lie about was that he didn't bet on baseball. So Manfred's probably just skipping that, okay, Ohtani's the victim and there was no betting on baseball.
$200 million in bets, not one on baseball, not even the $10 ones.
Well, how crazy is that? So apparently, averaging, according to these documents, up to 20, like averaging 25 bets a day, ranging anywhere from $10 to $160,000. What are the, like, are those just 17 leg parlays with a bookie that you're doing for the $10 bets? What is
maybe,
that?
Maybe. I mean, what was he hedging $10? the story, here's another interesting part of it. And we covered this with Mitch and Paul yesterday morning with our guest, who's the former president of the Marlins. Ohtani's first home run ball for the Dodgers, you know, a lady caught it, you know, and then they're going to go out and offer them something because they want to have that historic ball. They separate the lady from her husband. They offer her like two hats and a bat. I mean, it was a ridiculous offer. And then Ohtani comes out and says, yeah, it was very special. I went and I met with the lady. And the lady, her husband, says, we never got to meet Ohtani. Like, what is he lying about? If he would lie about that, I mean, there's something that's irrelevant. There's no need for him to go and say, I went and met this woman.
Maybe the interpreter just misunderstood what he was saying.
This is another interpreter that we have a problem, with.
That's really interesting, though. But that goes to show, too, how difficult things are with the language barrier. Another layer to this, again, according to this federal complaint, is that Ipe was pretending to be Shohei on phone calls to the banks to authorize these transfers, that he knew the answers to the security questions that he has underway, and nobody else had access to the funds. This, by the way, is a bank account that his angel salary was being directly deposited into.
Doesn't he have a business manager? Doesn't he have a lawyer that's looking out for his money? Something?
He has those things.
What are they doing?
But they don't have access to that account. Ipe does.
There's no one to monitor his account?
I'm just mind blown every step of the way. An apparent text from Mitsuhara to the bookie saying, I'm terrible at this sports betting thing, huh? LOL. Any chance you can bump me again? As you know, you don't have to worry about me paying. And then after this whole story became public, apparently there was another exchange where the bookie said, obviously you didn't steal from him. I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it. To which Ipe said, technically I did steal from him. It's all over for me. So it's just the layers continue to get deeper.
And none of the thousands of texts between the interpreter and Shohei talk about the gambling.
Evidently,
at all, right?
9,700 pages of text they went through. There was no reference of bookie, betting, wagering, or this private account, allegedly.
Well, good for baseball.
I just said yesterday, if this is all true, we already knew Shohei was rich, but if you don't notice $16 million being gone, you must be like rich, not to notice that much out of an account.
Deferring $200 million in salary, I mean.
Point made, but still, it's just every step of this. Again, the quote from the U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada in the news conference, I want to emphasize to this point, Mr. Ohtani is considered a victim in this case. Mitsuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to plunder Mr. Ohtani's bank account to the tune of over $16 million.
This is going to be a whole nother path now for criminal masterminds to become interpreters. I mean, this is hook on to the right athlete.
I guess, like, just again, reading through this, it's just to your point, it sounds like it's been taken from a TV show, that this is something that's scripted and it's not real. There was another element of this where evidently Mitsuhara was ducking the bookmaker for a time. And he says, I'm watching Ohtani right now, walking his dog in Newport Beach. I'm going to go talk to him if you don't get back to me. Like, it just everything about this seems insane. And it just seems like there's no way is this real?
Are they going to release the bets? I want to see all the bets.
I want to know what the hell this dude was betting $10 on. That's what I need to know. I think that's the biggest question of it all.
I really would like to see the bets and just to try to understand what his philosophy was. I'm sure a lot of it was soccer, but it's interesting. And the bookie taking that kind of a limit is interesting, too. So,
but again, this the way that the U.S. attorney is talking about it is absolute best case scenario for baseball. That you're
victim.
But we were talking in the break. This story just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We'll see if any of this continues to be a distraction moving forward. Ohtani, such a private person. There's a language barrier. We can't understand what he's saying, even when he does say things. So it is a lot. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we have an update in the Kentucky head coaching search and lots of NFL news and notes. Could this player be coming back? I don't think so, but we'll discuss.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time, we're offering here at VSiN 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Mike Palm and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we get into a little NBA talk with the regular season winding down. Our good friend Nick Whalen joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line. RotoWire senior NBA and NFL analyst. You can catch him on SiriusXM NBA and Fantasy Sports Radio. Welcome in, Nick. How we doing?
Doing well, guys. We're doing well. We've reached a part of the NBA season where it's very, very difficult to bet some of these slates where you have to really dig in on the motivation of each team, but very much looking forward to the playoffs next week and, of course, the Masters the rest of the weekend.
All right, Nick, let's get to the card tonight before we talk about macro issues so everybody knows what you're on. The Knicks are hosting the Nets. Knicks, currently an 11-point favorite in this matchup, and I know so much of your betting right now is lineup dependent. Tell me where you see the edge tonight in this game.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, especially on a 15-game slate like we have tonight, and then we'll have again on Sunday, things can get a little messy. You know, you see at Oklahoma City favored by 16 over the Milwaukee Bucks, and it makes you wonder a little bit. So I like to pick and choose games where we kind of know where the motivation lies, and this is one of them for me. Because the New York Knicks need to keep winning games, right? They're sitting in third in the Eastern Conference. They do have a chance, should they want to, and maybe we could discuss that later as far as some of these first-round matchups, to potentially overtake the Milwaukee Bucks. But either way, if you're New York, I don't think you want to fall further than third in the Eastern Conference. You got Cleveland, you got Orlando right on your heels. Knicks are on the second night of a back-to-back, obviously played last night against Boston, played very well. And if there's one thing we know about a Tom Thibodeau coach team, guys, it's that they're not going to take their foot off the gas. We saw that against Boston, right? They win that game big. Tibbs says after the game, well, we didn't play a full 48 minutes. This team does not let up. I feel comfortable taking the Knicks up to 11 against a Nets team that has absolutely nothing to play for. And a Nets team, and they've been doing this for a while, guys. We saw it the other night. They're starting to pull back, even in these meaningless games, on minutes for guys like Mikal Bridges. So I don't know that we see a full effort from the Nets. I think we get a full effort from the Knicks. I like them minus 11 at home.
Well, because you mentioned the Bucks-Thunder game, I see there is a prop that you have gone to in that game. First of all, in a card like this, when it's already tough enough to go through and pick your moments on the card just for the games, how tough is it to dive into all the prop markets on a 15-game slate as well? And then what do you have in the game?
Yeah, guys, it's super difficult, right? I mean, you look at that Celtics-Knicks game last night specifically. I think that's a great example. It's like the Knicks were, I think, only three-point dogs to the Celtics, and Celtics had all their guys out there. And then you look at the prop market, and I think Jason Tatum's player prop was 21.5, and Jaylen Brown was 17.5. You're like, all right, something is afoot here. I think it's a little more cut and dry tonight with this OKC-Milwaukee game. As of right now, you know, obviously we know Giannis is out. Lopez, Lillard, Middleton, Portis, all those guys are questionable. The line is 16. I think the expectation is the bulk of those players are sitting out tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks. So OKC, they're still in contention for the one seed. I think they'll still push it tonight. You do worry about the blowout potential, of course, but even in these blowouts, guys, we tend to see SGA get his numbers. I'm staying away from the points because of that blowout potential, but I'm looking at SGA over 1.5 steals. You know, I'm always good for some defensive props. Mm-hmm. He's got multiple steals in 7 of his last 10 games. He's averaging over 2 steals per game on the year. And we're going to have a lot of unfamiliarity out there tonight for Milwaukee. I think it could be a little bit chaotic. So taking a bit of a risk here, but I like SGA over 1.5 steals.
Nick, the Lakers are currently the 9th seed in the West. They'll be in the play-in bracket. They're in Memphis tonight, and you're interested in the Anthony Davis props.
I am. The Lakers are one of only a handful of teams that really do have a lot to play for tonight. I mean, the dream of getting out of the play-in is officially dead, but they can still get to that 7-8 zone, which, of course, you know, kind of affords you the ability to lose that first play-in game and still win your way in. I mean, they're currently in 10th right now by virtue of losing to Golden State earlier this week. They don't have the tiebreaker over the Warriors, so they need to push tonight. Good matchup against what remains, guys, of the Memphis Grizzlies, who currently have 13 players already ruled out for this game. Well, we'll see if they add to that, but before we get to tip, I like Anthony Davis over 36.5 points plus rebounds. Obviously missed some time lately, but he said he'll be back tonight. He said he's feeling great. The eye, the head issue he was dealing with is a thing of the past. Lakers, again, need to win this game. Anthony Davis averaging 43 combined points plus rebounds over his last 9 healthy games. And again, you worry about the blowout potential in a game like this, but Memphis has covered 4 of their last 6 games. You know, they rank near the middle of the league in terms of defense, despite missing so many guys. They're still playing hard for Taylor Jenkins. And right now they just have absolutely nobody who can stop Anthony Davis.
RotoWire NBA analyst Nick Whalen joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. A game with the shorter spread, the Warriors and Pelicans tonight, Golden State laying 4 against New Orleans. And Golden State, obviously, a very similar situation as the Lakers, which can we put to bed, by the way. Are they the most dangerous team in the West if they get in? I'm really, really tired and done with that conversation. But what do you have invested in this game tonight?
Now, unfortunately, I don't know if that conversation is going to die down, Stormy, until the Lakers or the Warriors are officially eliminated. But yeah, I mean, this is one where both teams obviously have motivation. I mean, Golden State can, much like the Lakers, they could still get to that 7 or 8 spot. Pelicans, you know, pulled off a nice win last night over Sacramento, but they still have plenty to play for. They play the Lakers in the final game of the season, should get Brandon Ingram back for that one. I'm looking at Trey Murphy tonight for the Pelicans, who's played really, really well, especially since Brandon Ingram went down. His points prop sitting at 16.5. And I like the over there. Again, Pels need to keep winning to avoid the bottom part of that play-in. They're only up 1 game on the Phoenix Suns heading into tonight. Trey Murphy has 58 combined points in his last 2 games. He's averaging well over this number if you go all the way back to his last 15 games. And since Brandon Ingram went down, guys, he's playing almost 40 minutes per game. He's taking almost 9 threes per game in that span. Warriors have been good on defense of late. I think they get Draymond Green back tonight, but they are near the top of the league in 3-pointers allowed. And of course, that is Trey Murphy's calling card.
Nick, I want to talk about the Eastern Conference from a playoff perspective. You did mention the Knicks. Would they want to get the 2? If they got the 2, they're going to get either Philadelphia or Miami in the first round. If they're the 3, you really don't know, but probably Orlando or Indianapolis. Speak to which matchup is better for the Knicks. And then second part of the question, who is the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East other than the Celtics?
So first of all, on the Knicks, I think they're okay with any of Cleveland, Orlando, and Indiana. To me, I think I would rather play the Magic or the Pacers of those three. I know Cleveland's been all over the map, right? It feels like they'll win 10 in a row, then they'll go 3-7 over their next 10. I think we just don't really know what to expect from the Cavs. But in terms of talent, that's the most talented team of those three. Nobody else has a player like Donovan Mitchell on its roster. Orlando, obviously, almost no playoff experience on that team. So I think if you're the Knicks, you'd ideally like to stay at the three and hope that perhaps Indiana overtakes the Magic and you get that in the first round. But I think they're fine facing off against Indiana. In terms of who's the biggest threat to Boston in the East, there's a reason the Celtics are minus 170 right now, guys, to win the Eastern Conference. I do think it still has to be Milwaukee for me. And, I do wonder, it's like, is now the buying opportunity on the Bucks? They're down to like 10-1 to win the title in light of this Giannis news. I know Chris Haynes yesterday reported that the Bucks are optimistic that Giannis will be ready for round one. But unfortunately for the Bucks, you look at who they might play in round one. Could be the Sixers, could be the Heat, could even be the Pacers, who's given them a lot of trouble. Like, this is not the Eastern Conference of 10 years ago, where you just have a cakewalk series in round one if you're the one seed or the two seed. So I do think a healthy Bucks team is still the team I would take to threaten Boston. Philly, 10-1. Miami, 13-1 to win the East. I think those are the other two you have to look at. And for me, between those two guys, it has to be Miami. We've seen them do this before. Philly, I think you're asking a lot of Joel Embiid, who, by the way, has never really played all that well in the playoffs, to basically ramp up for a week and a half and then go in as of right now and have to play a team like Boston or Milwaukee in round one just to get out of that first round. So I think the path for Philly sets up really difficultly. So if you're looking other than Boston, Milwaukee, I'd say Miami.
Yeah, you've got two of the stars in the teams trying to contend in the East against Boston in Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo coming off injuries. Not the most ideal timing for Giannis to have a calf. But again, as you said, Boston minus 170 right now to win the Eastern Conference. Are they on a collision course with the Nuggets in the West in the finals? Or who do you see coming out of that side?
It really feels that way, guys. It really does. I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that it would be an abject disaster for the Celtics to not at least make the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think Celtics fans would be the first to tell you that it's a disaster if they don't make the NBA Finals this year. I mean, there's a 15-game gap between the Celtics and the next best team in the East. Denver, to me, is still the kingpin out West, guys. When they're healthy, I don't think they've been pushing as hard this regular season as they have in the past, and they're still probably going to finish as the one seed. I think that's a really scary thought if you're another team out West. We got to take the Thunder seriously. We got to take the Timberwolves seriously. I'm not really interested in the Clippers at plus 425 to win the West. I'm not interested in the Suns at 9-1. I think those teams have too many question marks. If you're looking for value, guys, the Dallas Mavericks, winners of 16 of their last 18. That's really the only other team I would look at right now outside of Denver.
11-1 in the Western Conference. Nick, you are great. Thank you so much for the time today, and good luck getting into that 15-game slate today.
Hey, looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Nick Whalen, always appreciate his time. The Nuggets, at least a plus money number right now in the Western Conference, plus 140. OKC, who he also mentioned, 7-1, and the Timberwolves, 9-1. We're going to hit the break. Back to some NFL talk when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Remember, tonight you can download the Long Shots podcast for our After the Cut Masters coverage. Hosts Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin dissect the leaderboard, analyze key performances, and discuss the best betting opportunities live for the weekend ahead. From the contenders making their move to the surprises of the tournament, our expert panel will provide in-depth insights and strategies to help you bet the Masters smarter. Download the Long Shots podcast tonight at vsin.com/podcast. or wherever you get your podcasts. For continued coverage, check out vsin.com/masters. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Mike Palm, Stormy Bonantoni with you, hoping to connect in a moment with Shane Knighty, the TV analyst for the Vegas Golden Knights, former Boston Bruins defenseman, won a cup with them in 2010-11. And with this, the Golden Knights, as well as, a number of teams right now, figuring out their final spots and positioning with the playoff push ahead. A big night for them with the Wild upon them. And before that, the St. Louis Blues and Carolina Hurricanes going head-to-head with this placement all kind of on the line tonight.
Yeah, I think it's fortunate for the Knights that the one team that can catch them, the Blues, doesn't draw an easy opponent. And the opponent is still motivated because They're 3 points behind the Rangers for one in the Metropolitan Division, but they have a game in hand. So a win tonight, they're 1 point back with two to go. Obviously, they would get the home seed and not have to play the three in the first round. So important to them. And they're favored. When I saw the price on the game, I knew there was motivation before I looked at the standings for Carolina. The East wildcard race is crazy. I mean, big game was last night. Pittsburgh beat Detroit, but in overtime. So Detroit gets a point. So Pittsburgh, a point up.
Yeah, they move
on
up
the
to
Caps
that.
And the Red Wings and Philadelphia. But Philadelphia, everybody else has a game in hand on Philadelphia. Everybody has three left. And the Flyers, who've been plummeting, only have two games remaining. But it's wild.
But the Pens, who everybody, I feel like, was doubting this push that they had, move into that final wild card spot in the East as of last night.
1 month ago, 30 days ago, their chances were 4% to make the playoffs. Now they're the favorite to get the second wild card. Pretty amazing.
And we do have Shane on the line now, who joins us via the Progressive guest line, Shane Knighty. And I know it's busy because you just got some news that Mark Stone is going to be on the ice and non-contact, all the things, Shane. But welcome in. How are you doing?
I'm great. Good to see you. Yeah, it's exciting news. And for Vegas fans, not for anybody else.
Good point. And we were just talking about the situation that the Golden Knights are in today against the Wild. Of course, the game that's going to happen earlier in the day with the Blues. But what's the mood and energy of the building like on a day like today with so much at stake?
Well, I think there's a boost, certainly, that they see their captain just to be on the ice with them. But that said, they know, you know, there's no sign of when that may happen, him joining, either in practice. I wouldn't call it concern, but there needs to be some urgency with this team because you're at the point now in the season. You can't wait for that next game. That it has to happen tonight. They've got to get to their game. They can't just flip a switch. They've got to get the playoffs. They've got to start to win games, control their destiny. You can't wait for St. Louis to lose. You've got to take care of business here and try and climb. First off, solidify a playoff spot and then try and climb as high as you can as a seed. I think that's got to be the motivation for this group. And there's energy, I think, coming back home. It's always great to play in the fortress. And for this team, they play well at home. But I'm expecting them to come out with a lot of jam, a lot of juice tonight. They need to. This is the time of year. They've got to turn the corner here and get in playoff mode now. And I think Keegan Kolesar said it after, said, you know, we've got to turn things around. Even if we get in, we'll get bounced quick, I think is what he said. So they recognize that in the room. It's a veteran group. Now it's a matter of taking what they're talking about and executing it on ice.
Shane, you mentioned trying to move up in seeding, which could be very important. If they could catch the Kings for third, they could stay in that Pacific side of the bracket. How much more challenging is it if things stay status quo and they're wild card two and they have to go the route of the Central? You would have to beat the Stars, and if you could do that, then beat either Colorado or Winnipeg.
I don't think there's any easy route, to be honest. When you look at the teams that, you know, pick your poison, you want them, or you could meet the Edmonton Oilers, which we just saw what happened last game. I think the Oilers defend a lot better. We know they can score. So, but that said, I think when Vegas is on their game and playing the right way, they can play against anyone. And I think that's, there's legitimately talking to people around the league. They're like, the West is dangerous. You look at the teams, Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, Vancouver, Vegas are kind of the first teams that come out of their mind that, you know, any one of those guys could come out. So you've got to win your series regardless of who you're against. You're going to come against a tough opponent. So I think there's less concern about who they're going to meet as more just right now getting to their game, playing the right way, and solidifying that playoff position.
And you didn't mention the one seed in the Pacific, Vancouver. I know Demko, they're hoping to get him back for the playoffs. If they don't, do they still have a shot?
I think Demko's the key for them. Yeah. I really do. I think he's a big piece of their success, and especially playoffs. This is a group of guys, and Vancouver's had a great season. I think Rick Tocchet has done a phenomenal job there, getting them to buy in defensively. But the best means of defense has been your goaltender, and Demko certainly is that for them. They've got a lot of learning, right? They have a young group, not a lot of playoff experience. You don't get it unless you get into playoffs. I think they took a huge step forward this year, and they could surprise everybody. Maybe they do come out. But to me, I look at more of the experienced teams, as I said, Colorado, Vegas, Edmonton, Dallas is, to me, those are the big four in the West.
What do you make of the race for the wild card in the Eastern Conference, and is what we're seeing there, that says it all. And what is what we're seeing from the Pittsburgh Penguins lately, is that for real?
I think so. And you know, if you're not a fan of Sidney Crosby, you should be now, what he's doing at his age and willing this team. And I, you know, they're the exciting pick to get in just because, you know, they've got some Hall of Famers on that team. You know, you go up and down Malkin, Crosby, Carlson. They're exciting if they can get in. They might be able to do some damage. It's been a tough season for them. But what Crosby has done is pretty remarkable. So I think I remember doing one of their games, maybe it was a couple months ago, and everybody had written them off then. And I remember Mike Sullivan and we heard Sidney Crosby said, "We'll let everybody count us out. We know what we can do with this group." That said, they still got some work that needs to be done. You know, it's tight. Detroit, there's a look at it. The Capitals, the Flyers, who are pretty much done, got a little bit of life with a big win last night. But as of right now, yeah, I think just Pittsburgh's got some. The Capitals are kind of, that's a surprise. You look at their goal differential and the fact they're in a playoff fight is pretty special. And of course, Ovechkin getting 30 again. So it's been fun. I think it's been a great year all around, just watching the races, watching whether it's the Art Ross race. You look at the top defenseman scoring, that's pretty phenomenal. And then now it's been a good playoff race to see who's getting in. It's probably a little tighter than Golden Knights would like in the West with St. Louis still alive. But that said, we're getting down here to the final week when everything will get sorted out.
Dane, I'm a huge Jim Montgomery fan. Since he took my hometown team, the Dubuque Fighting Saints, to two USHL titles, he takes Denver to a national championship game. It was his Stars team that Rick Bowness took to the finals in the bubble. And record regular season last year, rotating Allmark and Swayman. They get to the playoffs, and Allmark starts six straight games. We don't know he's hurt, but he is, and they blow a 3-1 series lead. Last 20 games, he's back to that strict rotation. Says he's going to rotate games 1, 2, 3, and 4 in each series. Will he be able to stick to that, and do you think it's the right philosophy?
Well, after what happened last year, yeah, it's interesting. It's worked for them this year, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I think initially you always have a plan. And it's funny, when you talk to coaches, when you come to playoffs, it is a game-to-game adjustment, right? You come in with the biggest plan prior to playoffs, but really that gets thrown out. And then it's after that, you're just adjusting every game. You know, each team knows what they're going to do. So it's more adjustments on your side. I think the Boston Bruins, what you said with Jim Montgomery, you know, the success last year, I think this year has been even kind of, to me, more impressive because of what they lost down the middle in Krejci and Bergeron and still being as good as they've been. And I think, you know, it's the strength of the team, the way he's coached, and that rotation has worked. You know, when you look at the Golden Knights, they get to the Cup last year. They needed goalies. Took a couple of goalies. It took a few more even just to get the playoffs and to capture the West. So, you know, we're getting less and less from a one-goalie league. That said, there are guys capable. We've seen what Vasilevsky's done in the past. I think, you know, Jake Oettinger, Demko, those type of players. But for the Bruins, I think the start, yeah, I think he's got to stick with that rotation. It's been successful, and we'll see what happens from there. As I said, it could change at any time.
And a team certainly that wants some redemption after the way things played out in the playoffs last year. Last 40 seconds with you, Shane. You're from north of the border. There's a lot of pride over there, but it's been a long drought since a Canadian team has won a cup. Who do you think would be most likely of that bunch to win?
Oh, boy. Well, you look at what Toronto's doing, and I know that's an unpopular, especially I used to play in Ottawa in the Battle of Ontario. So myself and my kids have grown up to hate the Leafs. But they are strong if they can defend the right way and get some goaltending. And the Oilers, you know, I think they're dangerous with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Those are just two elite players. And they're playing better. I think Chris Knobloch's done a good job getting them to buy in defensively, along with Paul Coffey, Hall of Fame defenseman who's coaching the D-men. So if I'm looking at Canadian teams, I would say those are the two that are the top of the list for me.
Shane, you're the man. Have fun in the fortress tonight. Appreciate you.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
An action-packed fight card is taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use the code VSIN when you sign up. That's V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Some bets just don't sit right with Mike Palm. You took all the money you made and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters? Are you considering a bet that would make him sick? I'm going to throw
up. Don't throw up.
It's time to ask Mike, would Palm have a qualm?
It's the emoji throwing up for me. Great. Wonderful open. Thanks to the team for putting that together. But let's start our first Would Palm Have a Qualm with our Twitter submissions, the first of which comes from our own JVT. Appreciate you getting involved in the conversation, buddy. But he asked Mike, he says, I want to bet the Royals to win the Central. Any qualms?
I don't have a qualm because I think you have to take the position to fade the Twins. And so if you can draw a line through the Twins, you can create value by shortening the market. The White Sox, with the exception of the left-handed pitcher Crochet, are awful. So now you've narrowed it down to the Tigers, the Royals, and the Guardians. Guardians still the favorite. Huge blow losing Bieber, not just because he's one of the bona fide aces of his staff. Maybe, I mean, I'd put him in the top six or seven pitchers in baseball, but also the innings that Bieber will eat. So I think there's value with the Royals now. I mean, if they continue to play like this, this market is going to change pretty quickly. They're hitting the ball. The kid they had play first base last year, his name escapes. He was hitting fourth in the lineup. They sent him down. That's how talented this team is offensively. Can the pitching hold up? Obviously, that's the question for many teams. But they have some arms that can eat some innings. And when they score these kind of runs, it makes it a lot easier when you don't have to throw a lot of high leverage pitches. So JVT, I have no qualms. I have to tell you also, you know, the show that The Edge morning, noon, and night he used to do with Humans, and they always moved it around the schedule. Very good show for baseball handicapping. He and Humans are pretty sharp, especially at identifying dogs of daily betting of Major League Baseball.
The price right now for the Royals in the AL Central, plus 475. The Twins, a plus 190 favorite. We have another submission from social media, which, by the way, we're going to be doing this segment every week. So we'll post on the VSiN Twitter, get some of your guys' questions, comments, things that we can propose to Mike to see if he has a qualm about them. This next one from Mark Hoppel. The conversation, something that actually the TNT crew, the NBA TNT crew, had the other day, breaking down who would be defensive player of the year between Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. The odds tell you minus 3,000, it's Gobert. But Hoppel is asking us here about taking Wemby. He says he's already invested, but should he go with the Nigel Seeley approach that we've got on VSiN t-shirts? Don't be a moron, put more on it and get a little more of that 11-1.
So while I respect Nigel and his ability to evaluate soccer teams, my betting philosophy is often different than he. And by the way, their tennis picks have been terrific as well. I would say the chances of Wemby winning are not great, which the market indicates. And I'm not an expert on the NBA in any shape or form. And you're not going to hedge off at minus 3,000. But my advice would be to stand pat on your position and don't put more on it.
Stay with what you've got. Mm-hmm. Is it like, obviously, Rudy Gobert is playing on like the best defensive team in the league. Is there something just about Wemby playing on the worst defensive team in the league that you're like, how can I give it to that guy even if his numbers in all these categories are better?
Yeah, it's, well, defense is a team sport, right? It's a team concept in the sport of basketball because one guy can't play great defense and it makes a difference. There's a lot of help. There's a lot of recovery and a lot of system involved. So you make a good point there. I would be very surprised if Wemby wins.
Shaq said, he's 7'5". He better be leading the league in blocks. That's what you're supposed to do. We know the matchup now officially in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It's going to be the Eagles and Packers going head-to-head on that second day of the NFL regular season. Would Palm have a qualm laying the 1.5 with Philadelphia?
Yes, I would. I said this yesterday. The wrong team is favored here. And the 3 was ridiculous to me that it opened. But that was one of my questions for Michael yesterday in the pressing 3. The Eagles have had more disruption in their offseason, losing their defensive coordinator. I mean, what they did in, they limped into the playoffs, losing all those games down the stretch, and then got run out of Tampa Bay in the playoffs. I still can't get over the images of the teammates cursing out their quarterback, who was an MVP candidate 2 months earlier, right? And as everybody says great things about Hurts' intangibles and his leadership, and they just openly are using some profane language to describe him on the bench. I mean, there's a lot of problems there. And I know they get Saquon, but, well, I love the way the Packers played the last 2 months of the year. Probably should have won their divisional game. Went into Dallas, won for fun. Should have probably won that game at Levi Stadium and beat the 49ers. You could, I mean, you could argue that they should have been beat by the Lions and by the Packers.
You definitely can't. Right? I mean, and you think prior to, like, Jordan Love's interceptions in that game against San Francisco, he had some crazy run of like 21 touchdowns and one pick over that stretch.
His last 9 weeks of the year, he'd have been the MVP. Yeah. If there were, that was the only, that was the whole season, he'd have been the MVP of the NFL. I like this team. And LaFleur not coaching, having to coach Rodgers and coach through, and that, I think, gives him a different perspective and a different motivation. I like the Packers. I think more arrows lining up. And what did we hear? Sao Paulo is a big Packer territory. Yeah, Brazilian, they love the Packers in Brazil.
Who knew? Who knew? That's what Mark Murphy's saying. let's go to another team in green, the New York Jets. Mm. Would Palm have a qualm with Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams combining for 2,250-plus receiving yards at 4-1?
That's a lot of yards.
It's a lot.
And it's on a team that, you know, Salah will want to run the ball. If they're successful, they're going to want to run the ball. I know the line's got to get better pass blocking and run blocking. But Breece Hall, they're going to want to run the football on this team. I think that's too many yards with that philosophy. So I know 4-1 is an attractive price, but I will say I do have a qualm with that.
I'd probably look more just to Garrett Wilson because he's gone over 1,000 back-to-back years, and that was with last year Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian as his respective quarterback. So if he can get Aaron Rodgers for the year, that'd be pretty decent. How about McCaffrey to have 1,000-plus rushing yards and 1,000-plus receiving?
I don't mind it at 12-1. I think it's an interesting. He's a dominating player.
He has done it before with the Panthers in 2019.
I got lucky on the Super Bowl with it. It took overtime. But I mean, he had 80 combined yards in the first half, and then he didn't touch the ball in the third quarter. They didn't even like use him as a decoy. It was very strange, right? And the game turned, but then he was dominant on the overtime drive. I think it's interesting. I think at 12-1, I have no qualm.
See, meanwhile, I have a qualm.
A big qualm?
I have a qualm. Okay. The receiving yards just aren't going to get there. There's just too many.
Because too many options?
There's too many other options offensively that he's, even with all the yards after that he can get, I just don't think you're going to get 1,000. He did it
70
once.
70 yards a game? He can't get 70 yards a game?
He did it once in 2019, and even that was 1,005. Like, he barely got there. And he was the do-it-all player for Carolina. Okay. How about the Dallas Cowboys? 14-plus regular season wins at 7-1.
Yeah. Qualm. What have they done? First of all, they've done nothing in the offseason. What did they do? They got the long snapper. This team, I think, probably has a cap at 12, and that might be high. What is it, 10.5 is their total, the regular season win total? Even at 7-1, I think that's a long stretch to be that consistent and that good on both sides of the ball in all three phases of the game to win 14 games. Playing, obviously, they won the division, so they're playing a number one schedule.
The schedule, road games at San Francisco, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. They still have their two games, obviously, against the Eagles in division. Play Baltimore, Cincinnati, Houston, and Detroit as well.
It's very tough.
Very, very tough. Okay, I have two food-related ones for you quickly as we break this out.
Matt Brown and all this eating
Would
challenges.
Palm have a qualm with just the existence in general of oatmeal raisin cookies?
Why? Why would I have a qualm with that?
Because they're deceiving. You think that it could be a chocolate chip cookie, and instead it's this nastiness.
Well, I don't know. You know, my favorite cookie is an oatmeal Scotty. You ever had that?
What's that?
It's an oatmeal cookie with butterscotch morsels.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Oh, it's great.
I love an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie, but again, the ravens are deceiving.
You hate raisins?
I'm not a fan. I am the person that in the trail mix, I take out the raisins.
You eat grapes?
I like grapes. Okay. I don't like shriveled grapes, though, however. We have one more because I am obsessed with these Nerds gummy clusters things. And apparently our producer here, Justin Emery, was so disappointed. He thinks they're disgusting. Would you try one? I want to know if Palm would have a qualm.
Granular nature of them. The little,
stop.
No, I don't like it.
So you have a qualm
They look awful.
They look like an everlasting gobstopper.
They are
insane. Honestly, they're like crack.
Looks like they'll chip your tooth on that thing.
No, it's gummy.
No, I don't know.
It's gummy. Justin said they're a bottom
five. Show what these things look like.
They look like an everlasting gobstopper.
Looks like they're glued together.
I'm a pop lock and drop it as we get out of here.
Good luck to you flying this
week. These are dynamite. Ooh, and it's resealable. Man, they're doing something. Great stuff. Fun show. Appreciate you, Mike.
Thanks, Stormy.
Everybody, good luck with your bets. Sharp money. Patrick Maher's coming up next. Apologize for the mouthful, but it was worth it for the gummy clusters.